The canyon is famous for its great houses, like Pueblo Bonito, which were important ritual and trading centers, multi-room centers and multi-stories, in arcs around large kivas. But these great houses are a bit of a mystery. You see, Chaco Canyon soils, we know from pretty sophisticated agricultural studies, couldn't support more than about 2,500 people. So it's been argued with some convincingness that Pueblo Bonito might have been a place where food was stored in large quantities and used when large numbers of people from the isolated communities around congregated in the canyon for major seasonal ceremonies, also for trading purposes. What's interesting is Chaco is a canyon in the semi-arid landscape, is that the influence of this place extended over an enormous area. How do we know this? From tracking its distinctive pottery and from its extensive road and water control systems. The influence of Chaco extends over about 25,000 square miles of the San Juan Basin. There were outlying water control systems controlled and connected to the canyon by ceremonial roadways. This was a landscape. But the purposes of these roadways and what made this huge system, sometimes called the Chaco phenomenon, work is a mystery. Was Chaco Canyon a major ritual and market center? Or was it an unusual concentration of settlements headed by powerful chieftains? We don't know. But it was a remarkable, unique flowering of Anasazi architecture and culture, which flourished until about 1130 AD. Now, one of the great advantages of having tree rings, and they have hundreds of samples of tree ring sequences now from the southwest, is that they can not only date places like Chaco very carefully and very precisely, but they can also track droughts, because droughts in tree rings are reflected by thin growth rings. And so precise now are the tree ring data from the southwest that they literally can track the progress of a drought from northwest to southeast across the southwest. And the droughts around AD 1130 were very serious, and Chaco collapsed. The canyon was largely abandoned. The focus of ancestral Pueblo settlement moved north, and new major population centers developed in the Moctezuma Valley in Colorado and in the Mesa Verde region. And between AD 1200 and 1300, people moved from dozens of dispersed hamlets into crowded pueblos, the most famous of which is the famous Cliff Palace at Mesa Verde, which has 220 rooms and 23 kivas. Rooms sharing walls, storehouses, kivas, all jammed, many of them in rather remote and inaccessible places. And then, after 1300, the entire San Juan drainage was abandoned, almost certainly as a result of drought. And the so-called ancestral Pueblo collapse, and that's a gross overstatement, has long been touted as a mystery. But if you look closely at ancestral Pueblo and modern Pueblo cultural traditions, you see that there is a deep-held tradition of movement. Movement in the face of drought and unpredictable rainfall. And it seems that as a result of this prolonged great drought, that the people of these crowded pueblos simply dispersed elsewhere, where there was more water, where they had relatives with whom they could live. And many of the ancestral Pueblo from Mesa Verde and Moctezuma Valley appear to have dispersed south and southeastward into the lands of the Hopi and the Zuni, where their descendants live to this day. So here you have these dense ancestral Pueblo settlements at the end of the first millennium and the beginning of the second, and then suddenly they disperse. And after that, other pueblos arise in other places right into historic times.